Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis Theoji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. From time to time, I usually will teach different subjects. And thank you very much, choir. In this season, especially today, it's a month of praise. I would have loved to start teaching some other things in that light, in that area. But I'm led in my spirit to teach based on the need that I believe that the Holy Spirit would have me meet in our church tonight. It's a communion service, so we're supposed to have a communion after the service. And I want us to have that understanding. The communion, the blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus Christ that's shed for us on the cross of Calvary. Our call to Christianity is not a joke. It's not something we take lightly. We must understand that God has called us to a quality of life. And the quality of life that God has called us to is a glorious life. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is coming for a church without spot or wrinkle or any of such things. And that he will purify the church. And one of the ways that he will do the purifying of the church is that he has given to the church pastors, prophets, apostles, teachers, evangelists. He says that it is for the edification of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Are we here together? So the building up of the saints. So our assignment is to build up the saints. Our assignment is to edify. Our assignment is to strengthen. Our assignment is to help get that glorious church that God desires to get. Are we here together? So we teach, persuading men, speaking to their hearts, impacting the spirit, empowering them so that they can rise to the quality of life that God has called us to. Listen, God has called us with a holy calling. The believer is seated in a very elevated position. And to do anything or live a life that is less than that will be misrepresenting God and everything that the kingdom is about. God understands that some people are believers who have just come into the faith. In other words, they are babes and they are trying to grow. But you see, the level of your spiritual growth is largely dependent on your personal input that has to do with dedication to the word and the prayers. So there are a few things that I'm going to share tonight as I teach on winning over the flesh. Winning over the flesh. You can call it winning over the flesh. You can say overcoming struggles, spiritual struggles, struggles of the flesh. And whenever we talk about the flesh, sometimes the first thing that comes to the mind of many people will always be maybe sexual immorality and all that. But that's not all the flesh is about. Bitterness, envy, murder, slander, wrath, idolatry, witchcrafts, drunkenness. There are many things that the Bible classifies or categorizes as the works of the flesh. So my assignment tonight is to help us give you a key that can help you win over the flesh. Now listen to me. It is not as difficult as people make it look like. It is something that God has in scripture already, how to overcome, how to win. And I want you to know that tonight, I believe, there was a time I thought things about overcoming something with our flesh or whatever. I usually teach from time to time like that. Whenever I have to deal with spiritual emphases or spiritual growth, I usually would teach things like that. And I've had people come over and over and say, Pastor, after that teaching, I broke free from this attitude. I came out of this behavior. The anger that I usually would manifest died down. After that teaching, the spirit of jealousy and envy left me. After that teaching, I broke out of certain things. And those testimonies are encouraging. So from time to time, as the spirit leads, we get back to teach these things so that believers can be edified. God wants you to live a beautiful life. He doesn't want you to struggle. It's not the joy of a father to see the children struggling. So God does not want you to struggle. He doesn't want you to struggle with the deeds of the flesh. He doesn't want you to struggle with the works of the flesh. He doesn't want you to struggle with jealousy. He doesn't want you to struggle with anger. He doesn't want you to struggle with bitterness. He doesn't want you to struggle with envy. He doesn't want you to struggle with malice. There are many things that God does not want you to struggle with. And Jesus even said to his disciples, he said, the spirit indeed is always willing. And thank God for that. It is the flesh that is weak. Then the Bible says, we through the deeds of the spirit can put to death the deeds of the flesh. Are we here together? Am I communicating? Yes. So let's look at the flesh. What exactly is the flesh? What are the works of the flesh? Since we're talking about winning over the flesh. Galatians chapter 5 from verse 16 to 21. I'll be reading a lot of scriptures today. So position your heart. I'll be teaching for about another 50 minutes. Position your heart. We're going to pick it here, left and right, front and back, everywhere. You will need these scriptures so that you can use this teaching. Now listen, this teaching is not just for you alone to win over the flesh. The essence of the teaching is also so that you will help your friends. You would help your other people, those that come close to you, those that are around you, that are struggling with one thing or the other. So that in years to come, they will be able to say that, oh, after, you know, you taught me this thing, or you shared the message with them, they're able to grow and overcome the things of the flesh. Are we here together? Galatians chapter 5, let's read from verse 16 to 21. Everybody, loud and clear, let us read. One to go. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, if God gives you light into the scripture, you're already a winner. Because this is actually the answer. What I'm doing is breaking it down again and again and again. He said, this I say, in other words, it's simple, that if you walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. In other words, the reason why you are fulfilling the desires of the flesh, like bitterness, anger, malice, and when I mean anger that leads to sin, because anger, like I said, is not bad to be angry about situations and things that need to change. But when you get angry, Paul said, be angry but do not sin. Are we here together? So God usually will call it wrath. That means the anger or rage, destructive anger. Are we here together? Now, you want to be able to win over that jealousy. Every time you are jealous of a particular friend, they are doing things, you are so jealous, you are bitter. You know, the person is in a relationship, you are not, you are bitter. Your neighbor has more money or something than yourself. You are living with bitterness. You know, all those kind of things, you need to deal with them. Because these things are part of the work of the flesh. And the Bible says when you walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's very simple, actually. It's like saying, if you follow this lane, you will not do the things on this lane. It's as simple as that. If you choose this path, you will not be living the life of the people on this path. Just like that. Are we here together? As simple as that. Very simple. But sometimes it's complex because of the desires that you have on the things on the other lane. The interests that you still have. The satisfaction, the pleasure you will benefit or gain from following the other lane. So sometimes you are actually on this lane, but you are looking at this side. You are actually supposed to be here and focused like this. You are born again and you are a child of God in the spirit, but you have too much of your attention here. You are distracted by the things happening here. There are certain things happening here that you're still saying to yourself, oh, I wish I had this. I wish I lived like this. I wish I belonged to this. And God is saying, no, you cannot walk in the spirit and still walk in the flesh. If you stop working in the spirit, you have started fulfilling the desires of the flesh. If you stop fulfilling the desires of the flesh, you have started working in the spirit. It is something that cannot happen simultaneously. It has to be one at a time. Are we here together? Very good. So he says, this I say then, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Loud and clear. Let's go next one now. Next verse. So that you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, they are contrary. So you really want to do this, but this one that you want to do, this other one is fighting it. If you choose this other one, you will not be able to do this one. So they are contrary. so that you will not be able to live the kind of life you want to live if you yield to go in this direction. Are we here together, church? Very good. Verse 19 now says, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, why did he say that? When you are led of the Spirit, you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. That means you are no longer following the dictates and the patterns of the regulations and the ordinances that are in the law. Because now we have entered a new dispensation called the dispensation of what? God's grace. And those who walk in God's grace are led by the Spirit. Because this is the direction of the Spirit now. Are we here together? No longer the ordinances, no longer the do's and don'ts, but now we have found a new life in the Spirit and we're supposed to be walking in it. Is anybody getting what I'm saying? Very simple, isn't it? Very good. Now let's move on. It says, now the works of the flesh, they are evident. In other words, let me tell you the things that the works of the flesh are, so that usually people will think it only has to do with sexual immorality. No, that's not true. There are many other things. I would not mind we read maybe NLT or TPT now, so that it will be very watered down. You'll be able to get it. Okay. It says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Can you see it now? Now, what are the results? Number one, it says what? Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures. Can you see that now? Now, another translation calls this one pornography. Are we here together? Yes. Lustful pleasure. Go ahead. 20. Idolatry. Now, what is idolatry? Idolatry is something you prize higher than God. In other words, if I have this thing, my life would have been more fulfilled. So you're not saying because I have God, my life is fulfilled. You're saying if I can get this kind of life, my life is more fulfilled. If I can do like this, I am more fulfilled. So God is saying that thing has become your idol. Anything you bow to at the expense, are you getting what I'm saying now? Instead of bowing to the leadership of the Holy Spirit or following the dictates of God, you bow to this other thing. It is idolatry. Idolatry is idol worship. And you and I know today that we're not worshiping, you know, all of you here, I believe, are not worshiping Shango or Amadioha or Ailala or whatever it is. You're not worshiping Buddha. You're not, you know, I agree with you. But aside that, people are beginning to worship social media. People are beginning to worship football. So instead of coming for a Sunday service or a midweek service, if there's a football match, they would rather watch the football match. Now that's your God. Whatever you prize over God becomes your God. So that's idolatry. That's idol worship. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Does it make sense to you? Yeah, because sometimes people always think of idol worship as something standing in front of their house and all that. No, not exactly. In the 21st century, things have shifted. I hope you know that outside this part of the world, why you see the influence of football coming strong here is because they actually literally worship football. It's on Sunday mornings when you travel on Sunday mornings throughout 7 a.m. to 2, people are enjoying football. They don't talk about church. It's not in their own calendar. Are we here together? Some other people have what we call body worship. Now, body worship means that they would spend so much of their money taking care of their external, they don't mind to do the tummy tuck and the breast lift and the everything, and they glorify their body so much. Now, if somebody thinks that they have money and they want to do whatever it is they want to do in their body, well, fine, that's your business. But as soon as that thing becomes your priority and you begin to worship it so that you can use all your hard-earned money, what you cannot give to God, what you cannot do for God, you would use that money to satisfy your looks. You are now worshiping your looks. So all of a sudden you are coming out of the house and you just forgot your earrings and you have to board bus 1,000 naira back to go and pick that earring. That's your God. Because if you had left, nothing would have changed. But if you feel like you cannot survive or live without anything, that thing becomes your God. Do we understand that? That's idolatry. Then sorcery. As we are today in church, there are some people, somebody still calls you to say, let's go and visit so-so place. The man will show us this. The woman will show us that. Let them add this to our soap. Let them add this to our water. When you just rub a little bit, you rub it, you still come to church. That's witchcraft. Sorcery. You're beginning to involve yourself in very dirty things. So the Bible says these are the works of the flesh. So when we're talking about the works of the flesh, there's so many things. Are we here together? The Bible talks about hostility, to be hostile. To be hostile. You know what it means to be hostile? What does it mean? Huh? Eh? Give another translation to show hostility, to be hostile. When is somebody hostile? What? Cruelty. That's another way to describe hostility. Can be cruelty. Okay, TPT says chasing after the things instead of chasing after God. Hatred of those getting on your way. Senseless arguments. Resentment when others are favored. Temper trumps. Angry quarrels. Only thinking of yourself. Being in love with your own opinion. Now go back to verse 20 there. Let's go back to verse 20. The other translation. I'm picking from there. The other translation now. So you see it now. Idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy. Outburst of anger. So not even anger. Outburst of anger. That means anger that has found expression. So you allow it. You allow it. It leads to a slap. It leads to a fight. It leads to breaking a phone. It leads to scattering everywhere. That's the works of the flesh. In other words, the Bible says the devil is behind all those things. Then selfish ambition, dissension, division. Okay, let's move on. 21 now. Envy. Then what? Drunkenness. Wild parties. That means you like to attend strippers club. You like parties where they're going to do strange things. They're going to play strange games. You know, these are the Bible says your flesh enjoys it. These are the things that you like. They are the works of the word flesh. Wild parties. A lot of people like wild parties. They like it. They're going to put the lights out. Everywhere will be dark. Some people will be puffing this, puffing that. And you say, I'm just drinking malt. I just came with my friend. Congratulations, malt drinker. So there's nothing, no, it's fearless. Man, I'm drinking only fearless. Just drinking amber. It's nothing serious. It's okay. But the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seats of scornful. Those laughing about the things of God, making mockery of church, talking about God anyhow. He said, don't stay in that congregation. You're not supposed to be there. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Very good. So wild parties and other sins like this. In other words, the things that constitute the works of flesh, there's so much. He said, let me tell you again, as I have said it before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not take part in the kingdom of God. They will not get the blessings. Paul said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace that is able to give you your inheritance. So there's an inheritance we have in God. The Bible says those that are participating in this kind of life, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Are we here together? Very good. So now you understand the works of the flesh. A lot of believers still have one struggle or the other with the flesh, but I must say also that there are millions of believers that have gotten victory over the flesh. There are millions of believers everywhere. Because sometimes the devil makes you feel like everybody is struggling. The devil tells you that nobody is getting it right. The devil tells you that it's not possible for anybody to live right. No, that's a lie from the pit of hell. When people struggle with something, it means that they are there over and over, on and on. When a person falls into sin, it doesn't mean they are struggling with sin. If you fall, you're supposed to know that, oh, I made a mistake, I realize it, I acknowledge my fault. But when the person begins to struggle, it means that they are making a habit, they are making a lifestyle, they are now there, they are now helpless, they are now comfortable, and sometimes they begin to derive pleasure in it. Do you understand what I'm saying? They begin to derive pleasure and they're like, man, I can't do this. There's a way it makes me feel. It makes me feel high. Yes, exactly. Some people will say things like, that's how I am. You know, don't judge me. That's how I am. Well, nobody's judging you, but we're saying that God wants you to live over the flesh. God wants you to live over the flesh. And that's why the Bible is saying it here. So all the things that I've mentioned now are the things that constitute the works of the flesh. And like I said, there are millions of us that God is helping daily. And we're living a life that is beautiful over the flesh. And I believe that there are some of us, a good number of us in the congregation, that daily you're walking with God, keeping step with the master, and you're living a life over the flesh. Then if there's anybody that is struggling with the flesh, today God's desire is to bring you out. And I see plenty of people coming out of that. Those that are going to listen to this message subsequently, at any point in time, the Spirit of God backing this word will give you victory in the name of Jesus. You're not saying amen so that your neighbor doesn't think you are the one. And everybody said what? Amen. Yes. Consequences of struggling with the flesh. I like to discuss the consequences of things. I usually tell you that before you make decisions, consider the consequence. Before you decide to do something, consider what's the consequence. If I do it, what is in it for me? What happens if I do it? Number one, it can cause you to miss out of God's ultimate plan for your life. Yes. The story of the man in the Bible is very clear, called Samson. Samson started struggling with the flesh. And because of the struggle that Samson had with the flesh, the Bible said that Samson continued like that. It was not the first time they were warning Samson. We've seen Samson go to brothels. We've seen Samson at different times hang around with prostitutes. They've warned him over and over. Then one day, the plan of God for the life of Samson was truncated. It was aborted completely. Why? Because Samson yielded to the flesh. Samson submitted himself to the flesh. Samson allowed his flesh to control his life. And guess what, church? It truncated his destiny. It made a mess of his life. It made the great opportunity that God had given to Samson, he wasted it. I can imagine how many people in the Bible had that kind of privilege, that an angel will appear and announce your birth. Not only that, they will give prescription to your mother, the kind of what life she should live, the kind of things. So it was so clear, despite the fact the purpose of Samson's life was clear, despite the prescription for his destiny, despite the fact an angel appeared, I believe they must have told him growing up that, see, an angel appeared though, you're not just an ordinary child. An angel appeared to us and explained your birth. That's why we're keeping this your hair. In fact, he had a sign of the token of his covenant on him, physical, yet he failed. Yet he failed. In other words, Samson was very stubborn and adamant. He yielded to the flesh. Another example of somebody who yielded to the flesh and missed out of ultimate plan for his life was Gehazi. Gehazi yielded to the flesh in the aspect of greed, love for money. Gehazi wanted more. Gehazi was serving the man of God, Elisha. And while Elisha, you know, in the midst of service and everything, Elisha told Gehazi, we're not taking this particular gift. Let Naaman go with his gift. I don't want Naaman's gift. For whatever reason, the prophet said it. Then Gehazi said, oh, I've heard you. But he had that heart, greed. He went behind his master and lied with the name of his master, collected those things. And as soon as he saw his master, the master said, may the leprosy of Naaman be upon you and not only you, on your children. In other words, certain people have caused generations to incur certain things because of their misdeeds. Are you getting what I'm saying here right now? And that's why we have to be very, very careful. There are some people that misbehaved and it cost them the whole of their generation losing out. Like Saul in the Bible also. Saul got pompous, he became proud, and because of that, the Bible said the kingdom was taken away from him. So even David said it, was it not God that took away the kingdom from your father? And because the kingdom was taken away from Saul, it could not get to Jonathan. It could not get to all the sons of Saul, Mephibosheth. None of them could emerge as king. Why? Because of one person yielding to the flesh. Are we here together? Yes. So that's what you see whenever people yield to the flesh. It can truncate your destiny. Number two, it can cause a dead delay in destiny. For some people, it is a delay because the destiny is not yet messed up. Their life not messed up, but there are certain benefits. There are certain life, kind of life that God will want them to live that they cannot live. Because walking in the flesh makes you a babe. And as long as you are a babe, you cannot enter your inheritance. As long as you are a babe, you are the one delaying every good thing that God wants to do with your life. Because where you are, God cannot use you for glorious things. The Bible says very clear in the book of 2 Timothy. He said, if a man purge himself from these things, then he will become a vessel unto honor, fit for the master's use. Am I communicating, church? So you have to purge yourself of the works of the flesh so that you can be fit. So one of the effects of struggling with the flesh is that you will never be able to come into the fullness of sonship. You will not be able to lay hold of inheritance you're supposed to have in Christ Jesus. And that equals to a delay in the manifestation of your glorious destiny. So sometimes you must understand that people are always asking questions. Ah, I feel delayed in life. No, many of the times they are the ones delaying themselves because they are not ready to let go. Are we here together? Number three, it can lead to death and even destruction. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17. Can you put NLT for me? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17. I'm doing a teaching, so just follow me carefully. I'll be reading scriptures left and right. I don't want to preach as it were this evening. First Corinthians chapter 13 verse 17. God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple. For God's temple is holy and you are that temple. So when you do things in the flesh that amounts to destroying this temple, this your body, God says he will, I don't know how. I always tell every time I read the scripture, I've read it with multiple translations and I keep seeing the same word. He will destroy. He will destroy. I can imagine. If you check the meaning of the word destroy there, you know, in the Greek, you'll be able to see that it really seemed to have something to do with annihilation of life, like termination. But some people argue all manner of things. I don't argue the word of God. Whatever the meaning of destruction is in your mind, that is what it means. Are we okay? Uh-huh. So just take it. Anything destruction sounds like pampering somebody, take it. Destruction sounds like giving you bread and butter, take it. Destruction sounds like combing your hair and say, my baby, take it. God will destroy anyone who destroys his temple. Yes. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple you are? Are we here together? And one of such guys that made a mess of his own life like that also is Amnon. Amnon slept with his sister Tamar. And because he committed that act, he raped the sister. Somehow, Absalom went after Amnon and killed him. He had to end. Another person that did the same thing again, walking in the flesh, led to destruction, is Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot wanted to build a house and own a property. So he sized Jesus and qualified the price to be 30 pieces of silver. So he sold Jesus and bought a land. Then he went to kill himself. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, yes, yes. Yes. You get what I'm saying? Yes. That was exactly what happened. It was just a money problem. You know, the Bible says he had been stealing from the poor. So he had greed issues. He wanted more money. All the money he was stealing from the poor was not enough. It was not enough to buy the land. So he needed more money. And the only place that he saw money, Jesus became money. Glory to God. Yes. So number what now? Number four, it will hinder your spiritual growth and make you reject the teachings of scripture. Yes. Struggling with the flesh will hinder your spiritual growth and make you intentionally reject the teachings of scripture. Yes. The reason why it makes you reject the teachings of scripture is that you know those things, but you will not accept it. The Bible says they have a form of godliness, but they have denied the power. Now, because they have chosen to walk in the flesh, everything you are teaching, services will not make sense to them. When they get back home, they go back to the normal life. And that is very, very destructive. You will not be able to grow spiritually. Yes. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 to 14. Let me show you something there. Hebrews chapter 5, 11 to 14. The person will be dull of hearing. You'll be deprived of the deep things of God and remain a babe forever. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 11 says, of whom we have much to say and hard to do what? Explain. Why? Since you have become dull of word. So Paul is saying we ought to be teaching some serious things. We want to talk about glorious things in scripture, but we cannot go ahead to teach all these things. Why won't you teach it? He said, because they are hard things, and only those who have exercised themselves unto godliness and have grown can handle it. So he said, but you guys, you are dull of hearing. In other words, you're still struggling, so you're not even hearing. You're not open to listen. Now check other translations, NLT or TPT. Whoever sits on this thing today, please just try. There's so much more we would like to say about this. In other words, there are deeper revelations we would have given to you so that you will grow. There are deeper insights we still have to share. He said, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. Can you see what it says there now? So it's spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. So we have spiritual dullards. They don't want to listen. Everything you're preaching, you're saying it, they don't want to listen. And that's what struggle with the flesh. Because flesh makes you go the direction of the flesh instead of the direction of the spirit. So the Holy Spirit is saying, you are not listening to me. Because as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the what? Sons of God. And the ones that refuse to be led, they remain babes. They cannot grow to sonship. Bible says they are dull of hearing. Can you say, I will never be dull of hearing? Oh, I refuse to be dull of hearing. I open up to the Holy Spirit. I follow the leading of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. I don't want to be described like this. What a description. Can't you see that kind of description? Especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. If somebody comes around you and say that to you physically, you'll be angry, is that not? Oh, wow. That's what the apostle is. I told you the scripture is, the gospel is offensive. It's already offensive. That's just the description of the state. Then move on to verse, I think I'm going to verse 14. Yes, it says in the next verse 12. Let's go. Verse 12. It says, you have been believers so long now, and you ought to be teaching others. This is my expectation. Just imagine that everybody seated in this congregation is a teacher of the word of God. When we're coming back next week, somebody you thought will follow you to church, somebody you're teaching will say, let's go. Somebody you're discipling will say, I'm interested. It is easy to get people to follow you when you are a discipler. But when you are a struggling disciple, they don't see a need to follow you. Because the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father. But as soon as you are the one struggling, they cannot follow you. I refuse to struggle. I refuse to be a struggling Christian. I refuse to be a struggling Christian. I am thriving in the Lord. I am soaring in grace. In the name of Jesus, I am strengthened in my inner man by the Holy Ghost. The flesh has no rule over me. In the name of Jesus, I become a discipler of many. I'm a teacher of many. In the name of Jesus, I am not dull spiritually. I am not hard of hearing. In the name of Jesus. What a state, terrible state. Say, you have been believers so long now and you ought to be teaching. You've been coming to church 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years. He said, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. Like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. It's a bad state. It's not a good state. For a newborn babe, we can encourage that. But you've been in church. You know, when you come to church after 3 months, you should have started having converts. That's how it's supposed to be. When we got born again in secondary school, I got born again. The first thing that my discipler taught me was to evangelize. So we started going to other classes. I remember I got born again somewhere in GS3. Before I knew it, we were moving to SS1. When I came back in GS3, I was already going to GS3 classes. We'll go to GS3, GS2, and GS1. I'll be preaching to the people in the class there. We'll be preaching to them. We'll bring them to fellowship, scripture union then. We'll bring them to fellowship and, you know, grow them in the things of God. And our discipler made us understand that we are supposed to be disciples of Jesus. So by the time I was in 200 level, I had disciples. I had people I was discipling, showing them the things of God, gather for fellowship. I'll go and visit them during break. Sometimes they will come to my class. You know how young juniors now, 100, GSS2, GSS3, you come to see a senior. They'll come to the class, sit down, I'll show them things from scripture, encourage them, pray with them. They'll go. That was the same thing they did for me the first 3, 4, 5 weeks of my starting with God. And I started doing the same thing. Listen, if you don't do the same, you know why I'm standing? Because I took the gospel as a defense. The Bible says your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And every time you do that, it's, I remember when we stay on queue then in school, they usually sell bread and beans. So that's what I like to eat during break. That's what I usually would like during break, because actually it's not because it is the best food. That's what will fill you up on time. So, you know, and yeah, my parents didn't have so much money. So they will get maybe like 10 naira bread, then they will cut it. So usually we buy bread like 2 naira. You know, yes, if you buy 2 naira, they will give you 2 loaves. So you'll be able to wrap on this one. Then they will put beans. They can put beans 5 naira inside or 3 naira beans. So with 10 to 20 naira, you're going to eat bread and beans. Yes. (laughs) 2000 to 2024. That's how many years? So 24 years ago, so you can think about that. So you're able to get that kind of food. And when I was saying, you're thinking like, when you get to know the years, you now see that it is quite a long time. Are we here together? So that's what we were doing. We'll go out and preach to other believers, encourage them. So I grew like that. So when I left secondary school, I started doing the same thing. Immediately I left secondary school, the next line of action was still preaching. So I started going to secondary schools to preach. Immediately I left, like immediately. I started going to other secondary. I didn't have plans to be a pastor. I didn't know that I was going to have pastor. I was just a believer, like a normal brother in church, excited about the things of God. You know, so I started going to secondary schools to preach, and all the secondary schools I can preach, I preach in Omole Grammar School, Agidingbe, I preach in Ojodu Grammar School, the different schools. Now they splitted those schools. I preach in Opera. I preach in a lot of private, public schools more. I focused more because private schools needed letters and many things. Now, even government school need letters now, unlike before. And can I tell you the truth? Last year, thereabouts, the government school there gave me, with Pastor Enik, I took him around, they gave us 10 schools to reach out to, but I don't have people to go. Yes, there are days I reached out, is anybody available, can you go? Nobody. I had 10, as I speak now, the letter 10 schools that I have rights to preach in Lagos State, but I don't have people to go. I tell you the truth. Okay. Now, before we go back to Ojodu, maybe we should comb the whole of Iba and his environs. Then we can apply for another letter. Reach out to them and tell them, this is why we're coming. We need to preach the gospel to them. At those days, on Fridays, I'll be with the secondary, the, what they call now, school fellowship. I'll preach for them. I'll pray for them. We had more time there. On the assembly, we'll do it fast. But just about 15 minutes on the assembly, Christian assembly, we'll do it fast. You know, but when it's Friday, they'll give us full time. I'll preach for about 45 minutes, 15 minutes. Pray for them. Lay hands on them. Some of them have eventually become HODs in this church at one time. Yes, some of them from secondary school became HOD. I remember Bridget was in school. I used to preach to them. Bridget in sanitation. She served, you know, here as HOD of sanitation before she's in Ojodu now. She's still in sanitation in Ojodu right now. Was in secondary school. I used to preach to them. There are many other people that I've met like that. Maybe some of them are not leaders here, but they are people we met. And somebody came one day and said he met one of my mentees that is his mentor. So that means like a grandfather. Like, there's somebody, he told me everything you used to teach them. He's now my own mentor. And I was like, wow, that's real. Maybe by now I'll be a great grand mentor. Glory to God. So you have been believers so long and you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid word food. It says, for someone who lives on milk is still an infant and does not know how to do what is what right. Can you see it now? That's why they're struggling. They don't know how to do what is right because they are infants. Solid food is for those who are what? Mature. Who through training have the skill to recognize the difference. They know right from wrong. These other ones are still saying, is it right? Is it not wrong? Is it in the Bible? If it's in the Bible, if it's not there, babies. I'll show you something, hopefully, as we take today's teaching. Glory to God. Are you being blessed today? Yes. Actually, this is how PFLA usually will look like sometimes when you just teach it small, small. That's how PFLA looks like. Amen. So those of you that have not done PFLA, go and register. Yeah. Glory to God. So you see, there's something in Romans chapter 8, 5 to 6 that I would like to show you. Romans chapter 8. I would have read that, but I didn't read it. But let me go back there. Romans chapter 8, 5 to 6. Romans chapter 8, 5 to 6. For those who live according to the flesh, they do what? But those who live according to the Spirit. Now look at it, look at it. It didn't say those who live according, go back. It didn't say those who live according to the flesh. Their minds have been, as in their mind was conditioned that way. No, they set their mind. Oh, you're not getting what I'm saying now. It's not the default position of the person who is acting in the flesh. It is an intentional action. The person chose to do what? Set their mind. So the Bible says those who live according to the flesh, those who are doing all those things we talked about, it is because they set their mind. Like scripture says, set your affection on the things of God. So as I can set my affection on righteous things, I can also set my affection on carnal things. I can set my affection on pornographic materials. I can set my affection on bitterness and rage and promise myself that I will revenge, I will react, I will kill somebody. I can set my affection. And as soon as you set your affection like that, the devil begins to go through the satanic encyclopedia and tell you the things you can do. You can slap the person. You can send the message again like this. You can attack the person. The devil will show you all manner of things. Why? You set your mind. Somebody say, set your mind. Oh, tell your neighbor, nobody's going to do it for you. You set your mind. So the Bible says that those who live according to the flesh, the reason they are living that way is because they have what? Set their mind. It was not like, it's not like that's the default position. No. The day you got born again, you became free from sin. The day you got born again, you're no longer a slave to sin. The day you became born again, you had choice to make. When you were not born again, you didn't have a choice. You were by nature a sinner. You were by nature to follow the devil. Even if you didn't want to follow the devil, there's no how you can follow the devil because you're a follower of the devil. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying now. When you're not born again, you are by nature a sinner. You are a follower of the devil. You are a servant to sin and the devil. As soon as you get born again, the chains left you. You are now a slave to who? Righteousness. You are a servant to what? Righteousness. Your new nature has inclination to do right, but your old nature is still calling for you to come and do wrong. So if you do wrong, it's not because you are a slave and say, I cannot do anything. It's not easy. It was because you set your mind on it. Oh, you didn't get my preaching tonight. Are you guys getting what I'm saying here now? I said the day you got born again, I explained again because this is deliverance for somebody. As soon as you got born again and accepted Christ in your heart as Lord and Savior, the devil left you because you are no longer a slave to what? Sin. You are no longer a slave to follow the devil. You are not indebted to Satan anymore. You are not. He's not your master any longer. Jesus Christ is now your Lord and your Savior. He's now your King. So you are now a slave to a new master. And this new master is who? God. And you are a slave of what? Righteousness. Oh, someone said, but Pastor, why are you saying slave? Yes, a slave, dolus, that is a love slave. In other words, Paul calls himself a slave of our Lord Jesus Christ, saying that his chain of love is holding me. Or like me, I'm a slave to my wife. I'm a slave. I'm tied to one person. I'm hooked to one person. Do you understand what I'm saying now? That's what it means to be a slave. Every time you're given a ring, you know, a wedding, just know that they gave you a chain. It's a ring. It has held you to one person. So anytime you move your attention from that person to another person, they now call it adultery. Adulterated. Mixed up. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So because you have now a new relationship that you are indebted to. I have a debt to satisfy my family and my wife first. I'm indebted to them. I'm not indebted to any other person. No other person. But if I now choose to start following another person, it is not because I am indebted to them. It is because I decided to follow sin. I don't know if this message is being clear to anybody here. Are you getting the gist tonight? Glory to God. Those outside, are you getting my gist tonight? Very good. Thank you. So, the born again is no longer indebted. The Bible says those who live according to the flesh set their mind on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their spirit on the things of the Spirit. Now go ahead now. It says, for to be carnally minded is death. Now, it is said to be carnally minded leads to death. That would be a journey. Am I making sense now? It says to be carnally minded is actually death. Oh, you don't understand that. It's different to say something will lead you to death and to say you are already in death. As soon as you start nursing that mindset, as soon as you start picturing that unforgiveness, you start picturing that bitterness, you start picturing that envy, and you are just envious, all of a sudden it says you are dying gradually. You are dying gradually. You are dying gradually. What it means is it is death. It's not that it is going to be. It is death. As soon as you start nurturing that picture of, you know, send her the message and begin to talk one thing and begin to say, come now, let's, the way I'm looking at you, the figure, the body, the shape. Bible says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? So as soon as you set your mind on the things of the Spirit, what do you experience? Life, peace. How many of you have been there where there is a serious temptation and you overcame the temptation? How do you feel? Life, peace. You feel like an angel just came around and it just blew air on you. That's a beautiful life. And you can live like that permanently because that's where many of us have chosen to live. Where we always live in the world where we see the ministration of angels. Because we have detached ourselves from the deeds of the flesh. Set our affection on the things of God. Are we here together? Is anybody getting my message? Am I dulling you, those of you at the back? And that's like another class is holding there. Are you getting the message tonight? Very good, very good. So let's move on now. That's verse 6. Verse 6, go ahead. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against... The carnal mind is enmity against God, It's not subject to the law of God.
It cannot be.
Uh-huh. Go ahead. It's a long reading. Go ahead. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Uh-huh. But you are not in the flesh. You see what I told you? When you are born again, you are in the spirit. If you did the deeds of flesh, you set your mind. You are not there. You set your mind. You started looking at death when you should be looking at life. You are like somebody who is beaten by the snakes. And instead of looking at the brazen serpent, you are looking at the snake. Each time they looked at the snake, it beats them, they died. Each time they looked at Jesus Christ, it was biting them, but we're living. That means the urge is coming, but I'm looking at Jesus. The desire is coming, but I'm looking at Jesus. The nudging to do that thing is coming, but I'm looking at Jesus. And the Bible says, looking up to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Are we getting what I'm saying today? So the more I behold him, the lesser the impact of the urge. The more I behold him, the lesser the impact of being envious. The more I behold him, the lesser that spirit of unforgiveness can hold on to me. It doesn't mean it does not exist. It just means that it has no effect on me. Why? I have set my affection. Set your affection. Tell your neighbor, set your affection. Glory to God. It says, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. Go ahead now. Go ahead. It's a long reading. I'm enjoying it. Everybody read together. Let's go now. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of what? Righteousness. Let's go. But if the Spirit of whom? Who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his Spirit who now? So if that spirit is inside of you and the devil is trying to push you, what does the spirit do? He gives life to your mortal body. And one of the ways you allow the spirit give enough life to your mortal body, he said, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The more you stay in that atmosphere, you are built up. The more you are built up, you can withstand temptation. The more you are built up, you can say no. That is why an attack on your prayer life is an attack on your destiny. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? Yeah. Glory to God. I need to rush this. I must make it one sermon, one complete teaching. So let's move ahead. But if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from death dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives where? In you. Go ahead. Therefore, brethren, you are not indebtor, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Do you hear what I said? You are not indebted to the flesh to live according to the flesh. I'm not indebted to one girl to live according to her. No, my debt is to my what? My wife. Because this is who I'm indebted to. So if anything takes me to this girl, it is my Ojukokoro. Do you get what I'm saying now? It's because of my lust. It's because I have lusted. This is love. This one is what? Lust. Every affection and affinity you have with Satan is called what? Lust. Your connection with Jesus is called what? Love. Because you now have a new master. You now have a new relationship. Is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? So if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if the spirit... If by the spirit you put towards death. So because I am here, the spirit inside of me, when that one is calling me, I put to death. Calling me, I say, no, don't listen to me. Call me, I say, no. Call me. I have to intentionally do what? Put to death. In other words, many people are struggling because they are not putting to death. Instead, like my wife is standing by the side and all of a sudden this one is poking me and I'm like, yeah, me. There's still something you are deriving. That's why you're watching pornography. You still feel there's something there. But if you cut the string off and you focus on him, you will not have desire there again. Are you getting what I'm saying? There is still something you are deriving. That's why you want to revenge. Because yourself and your ego is still saying that I must show myself. That's why. But by the time you say no ego, no self, nothing to gain, you leave it, you focus. Humility and the oil of gladness will come upon your life. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here now? Yes. So if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live in the spirit, put the deeds of the flesh. If by the spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh body, you will do what? Live. For as many as are led. Can you see now? This is the spirit. You are following the leading. You are following the leading. They are the sons of God. Glory to God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. That spirit of fear saying that. This one is saying, come now. I said, please. No. Who are you? I command you. Get out. So can't you see my babe? Can't you see? That's how you have to talk to the devil. Can't you see I found a new relationship? Can't you see I have a new life in Christ? Can't you see that the spirit of him that raised Jesus is inside of me? I have a relationship I'm holding on to and I believe this one. My life is in it. I'm not facing here anymore. That way, you will be damning the flesh. You will always tell the flesh, shut up. The spirit will gain strength. Are we here together? Is it making any sense to you? Yes. It says you have not received the principle of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of what? Adoption, by whom you cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? The children of God. And if children, then what? Heirs of God and joint heir with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may what? Be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, the denials of this present time, they are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Glory is being revealed in us. Every day glory is being revealed in us. The more you walk with Jesus, glory is revealed in you. The more you follow Jesus, glory is revealed in you. Somebody say glory! Ooh. What a life of glory. The more I behold him, the more I behold his glory, the lesser the impact of the flesh on my life. The lesser the impact of sin in my life. The lesser the impact of the desires and the cravings. Why? I am beholding him. Glory to God. Wow, this is wonderful. We're going to verse 23. Can we keep reading it now? I want to go now. For the earnest expectation of the creation, they eagerly wait for the revealing of the sons of God. For creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. He says what? Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labor with birth pangs until now. Not only that, but we also, who are the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves, groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Glory to God. Glory to God. What a new life in Christ. Oh, tell your neighbor, what a new life in Christ. I'm living that new life now. Hey, I'm living that new life now. You see now, the Bible says it there. So your flesh cannot control you anymore. You cannot allow it to control you. It is your choice. Now that you are born again, you are the one making choices. So anytime you fall, it is your choice. Don't say, I don't know what happened. You chose it. There was something that you saw. You still have passion. You still have pleasure. You still have something that is attached to that thing. There is still a gain that you are getting. That's why you're doing it. Because if there's no gain, you will leave it. I refuse to find gain. That's why Paul said, the things that I used to count as gain, I count it all for what? Dung. For the excellency of Christ my Lord, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, be made conformable unto his death. Paul was saying it, that all the things that were gain to me, it used to be gain when I feel so proud and I kill Christians. It used to be gain when I act out many dangerous lifestyles. It used to be gain when I live in anger. It used to be gain when I live in bitterness. It used to be gain when I live in malice. It used to be gain when I live in sexual immorality. I even tell my friends what I do. I share message with them. I share videos with them of how bad. He said, but all those things, I count them, but what? Dung. They're like cow shit now. It's just like Paul is saying, bullshit. I bullshit them. All of them. Glory to God. That's what Paul is saying. Like, they are now like bullshit, cow shit, dung. Why? He said, I have found something more excellent. I have found an excellent life. I have found the life of glory. I have found a beautiful life. I cannot compromise this glorious life for this nonsense. Is there somebody under the sound of my voice? Oh my God. Are you getting what I'm sharing tonight? May God open your eyes to see this life of glory. You are walking in that glory. You are riding in that glory. In the name of Jesus. Everything that has been gained to you that is against the will of God, may God strengthen you to count them but dung. In the name of Jesus. How do I overcome the flesh? Number one, feed on the word of God. Feed on the word and be a doer of the word of God. Feed on the word and be a doer of the word of God. Feed on the word and be a doer of the word of God. Choices are important. Remember that way the Lord will influence your mind and determine your choices. Now I said, when you feed on the word of God and you are a doer of the word of God, that way it is the word of God that is influencing your mind and determining your choices. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? So I'm not making choice based on the leading of the flesh. I'm making choice based on the word of God. Are we here together? Romans chapter 12 from verse 1 to 2. It said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living word, sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Is that not? He said, which is your reasonable service. But be not conformed to this world. But be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect. So whenever the flesh is calling you, you can prove what is good and say, flesh, I'm not going there. This is bad. Whenever the flesh is calling, you say, no, I'm not coming there. This is bad. Why? Because now you are renewed by the, you have renewed your mind with what? The word of God. The word of God renews your mind. It gives you God's perspective. It makes you see the way God sees. It shows you the way God thinks. It gives you the ability of God inside of you. And by the power of the word of God, the psalmist said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In other words, I cannot walk in darkness because I'm holding on to your word. I can never be confused because I'm holding on to your word. When the devil is saying do this and God's word says do this, I will cling to the word of God instead of following the devil. Why? The word of God has become what? A light unto my feet. See, the reason why the devil doesn't want you to read the Bible, you will know a lot of things. And when you know it, truth will be revealed. And I shall know the truth, and the truth will do what? Make me free. So that's why the devil stops people from studying the word of God. It's not because of time. It's not time that's the problem. It's the devil distracting you, making you feel like you don't have enough time. That's the devil. He doesn't want you, because the more you know in the word of God, the better you become. In Colossians chapter 3 verse 16, he said, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly. Hey, are you hearing what I'm saying? The word of Christ dwell how much? Richly. That means it is sufficient. I have enough word. Just like preaching the word of God, you have to start from somewhere. I met believers that started just less than 1 year and 6 months. You need to see how the guy is talking the word of God. He has fallen in love. See, if you get born again, I read my Bible to the point where almost every place was marked. I'll be asking myself, I marked this thing before. Why am I marking it again? I cannot but mark it. Because that mark, as soon as I mark it there, it is marked in my heart. As soon as I mark it there, there is a marking in my heart. That word have I hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Pastor, how are you overcoming? How did you overcome? That word have I hidden in my heart, that I will not sin against you. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to your word, thy word. Kai! This word of God is powerful. Tell your neighbor, the word of God is powerful. Psalm 119 from verse 11 to 16. Let's look at it. Psalm 119 from verse 11 to 16. That's it. Let's do this fast. Are we here together? Thy word, your word, have I hidden where? In my heart. If I had the word in my heart, I will not do what? Sin. So if I sin, it means the word of God is not where? In my heart. What is in the heart? Maybe pornography, maybe masturbation, maybe lust, maybe bitterness, maybe anger, maybe drunkenness, maybe unforgiveness, maybe idolatry. You have other options. That is why. But you must say to yourself, I have no other option. Child of God, I have lost all my options. I have only one lifeline. Jesus is the lifeline. I have chosen the way, the truth, and the life. My life is settled forever. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? I'm settled forever. The word of God has settled me. He said, forever, oh God, your word is settled. If the word of God is settled, it is settled in my life. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? Is anybody being blessed today? I don't know if you're being excited by the word of God. I'm excited. Glory to God. Go on now. We're going to verse 15. Go on. It says here, blessed are you, oh Lord. What do you do? Teach me your status. Wow. The status of God, that means the word, the principles. Teach me your word. I want to know your word. I want to know your laws. I want to follow your laws and not my own selfish desires. Are you here with me, church? Go ahead now. He said, with my lips, I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I've been telling everybody what you have said. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. That means the riches of this world, they are not as exciting and as interesting as your word. Your word is my focus. It is your word that makes me rich. It's your word that has given me light. Are you hearing what I'm saying here now? And it says, I will meditate on your precepts. What are you meditating on? 11 p.m., what are you meditating on? 11:30, what are you meditating on? As you are watching Facebook, what are you meditating on? You are seeing a movie that has very dirty scene, and they told you, and you say, I'm an adult. Listen. You are a babe. Physically, you are an adult, but you are a babe. Because if you are an adult spiritually, you will trash it. It will not make sense to you. You are seeing a movie and you saw a dirty scene. Nobody told you, you saw a dirty scene. Then you play back. You are setting your affection. And as soon as you set your affection, it will reveal itself in your action. It will reveal itself. Why did you play back? If you passed in that movie and you see that scene and you move it very fast and somebody said, ah, are you a baby? You should be able to look at it. You say, wow, brother, I'm actually God's baby and I don't want to get corrupt. You say, are you an adult? You know what? No, that's not how. Guess what? Every time that picture stays in your mind is a recorder. It will play it again. It will play it again. It will play it. So anything I don't want to be played in my mind, I don't look at it. Oh, I've had times maybe something went wrong somewhere and my wife said, ah, maybe. I say, no, I don't want to see it. I say, why? I don't want to play it. I don't want to. I know my mind. I have a very sharp mind. It will stay there for a long time. So what do? I kill it. I kill it. I kill it. I don't want to see it. It shouldn't be there. It shouldn't be there. And there are many things I can't remember anymore because the word of God has swallowed all of them. And now my mind is renewed by the word of God. That's what is happening to somebody here. That's the experience you are having again and again. In the name of Jesus. Maybe this midweek service will challenge you to start reading the book of Ephesians. You want to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or you want to start from Acts of the Apostles. Start staying on the word of God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Yes. Number two, build a consistent prayer life. Build a consistent prayer life. True prayer will change you. I'm not talking about need-based prayers. Lord, give me this. Oh God, fire the enemy. Where are they? Fire, fire, thunder, thunder, water, water. No, that's not prayer. That's not the kind of prayer I'm talking about. I told you that the Bible talks about all prayer. Is that not? There are different kinds of prayer. The most important prayer for the believer, as you must stay on, is a prayer of fellowship and intimacy. That's what God wants. Because sometimes before you start asking for those things, the Bible says your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. But we have turned the African church, especially the African church, and now it is becoming terrible with Nigeria, to a need-based church. So most of the people who come to church, it is one need or the other they are coming with. So that every service, somebody has prayer points. Every service, as you are preaching like this, how many of us have seen that sometimes a very powerful message is going on online. As the message is going on, somebody is saying, I pray for me that God will bless my business. Pray for me that God will... See, they are not serious. They are need-based people. They are driven by their needs. They don't know what Jesus Christ said. When Mary and Martha were with Jesus Christ, the Bible says concerning Mary, he said, Martha, look at your sister has chosen the better part. She has chosen to sit at the feet of the master. And whatever she gets here, nobody can take it away from her. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you get the word of God, nobody can take it away from you. When the word of God stays in your heart, nobody can take it away from you. Because when you have the word of God, it says, buy the truth and sell it not. I hold it inside of me. I've kept it there. No devil can take it away. When the devil is here, I say, no, I know what the word of God says. The Bible says, the Bible says. He said, is it only you know what you know? I say, yes. That is how Jesus defeated Satan. It is written. Every time the devil comes, he says, it is written. The devil shows up again, it is written. The devil shows up again, it is written. Child of God, you must know what is written if you must overcome the devil. You want to rule over the flesh? You must know what is written. Number three, be careful what you listen to. Victory over the flesh. Oh, is somebody listening to what I'm saying? Yes, don't worry. When we have more time, I'll teach us some things. I want to rush this off for this night. Yes. You know, Jesus Christ said to his disciples one time, I think Matthew 26, he says, watch and pray, lest you fall into what? Temptation. The word watch there means to be cautious, to be vigilant, to be alert. Another way he says, to take heed, lest through remission and indolence, some destructive calamity will suddenly overtake you. So 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, for the devil, your adversary, is going about like a what? Roaring lion. The devil knows what can happen between 10 o'clock and 12, so that the chat you didn't want to send, that you will regret all your life, you will send it. So guess what? When you come to that midnight hours, and you know that your body begins to respond to the strange urge, there are songs that you can play. Put songs of joy and let God sing over you. Anytime you're brooding on something and somebody has hurt you and the devil is saying, this is how you must react, you will show the person. You say, no, the righteous does not live like that. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. I follow peace. The devil will be wondering, what kind of person is this? The devil is telling you, there's a place you need to go, or somebody is suggesting to you, let's go there. They will give us this thing. If they give it to you right now, your life is settled. It's a special soap. And you say, no, 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 no. God has given me the oil of gladness. There is soap already for me. And the oil of gladness, praise for spirit of bitterness. I can't live in this thing anymore because this is the word of God. Child of God, know the word. There are many believers, they've not read the Bible. This week now, some people have never, they don't know where their Bible is anymore. I told you before, your phone is already suggesting that you delete your Bible app because it's up to 2 months since you checked it last. Oh, what a life. What a life. I will never be like that. Oh, I can never be like that. I'm a believer with a difference. My difference is seen in my attitude. My difference is seen in my character. My difference is seen in how I reference the word of God. Are we here together, church? Is anybody being blessed this night? So be sober, be vigilant. As soon as the devil is saying some things, all of a sudden you sit down as a young man and the devil is telling you, start talking dirty at her. And he starts saying, your lips is succulent. When a man tells you your lips is succulent, tell him, what are you looking for there? Why? What nonsense? Is that a compliment? That's an insult. You say, the shape of your breast is orange color. You say, you are sick. You delete the person and block the person off your life. A married man. Listen, you're a married woman and somebody is reaching you on your phone and say, your husband does not know what you have. As I looked at your back, what I saw. You say, everything, may you always be behind for looking at the back. All your life you'll be behind looking at the back. You know why? Dirty. I'm going to teach you. My ladies, I've gotten the message already. Yes, I've gotten it. Let me teach you. There are many dirty. You know, when a dirty talker gets you down, you will think you are the one at fault. But he started telling you how succulent, and you're saying thank you initially. He said, your eyes are like dove eyes. You say thank you. Then he said, if I were there, I would just touch your lips. He said, He will now send one nonsense emoji. Then you get what? You think you are the one. Guess what? Guess what he's doing? He's fueling your passion. And as soon as the passion is filled, guess what? You will start cooperating. He led you on. Be smart. Tell your neighbor, be smart. I'm not talking about against brothers alone. There are sometimes it's a lady that is pushing you also that way as a brother. Yes, it's possible. Yes. The green light is too much. It's greener than the lights in Lagos. Somebody say mercy, mercy, mercy. Time. Glory to God. Your eyes and your ears, they are gateways to your mind. Whatever enters your eyes or your ears will shape your mind. And whatever sits on your mind will determine the direction of your life. Yes, yes. The devil is saying, how can you forgive him for what he has done? Don't let it sit in your mind. Tell yourself, I forgive, I forgive. The devil is telling you, stimulating you with all manner of dirty things. And you know, the more you accept those dirty things, men, you are gone. The Bible says in James chapter 3 from verse 10 to 8, it says the tongue is an unruly member of our body. That tongue, they can use it to set you on fire. See, you can be here and somebody will talk. All of a sudden, you'll not be feeling horny, you'll be horny. Just talk. You don't know what this thing is. You know, the Bible says life and death is here. That's why somebody is taking dirty. You cut off that source. As soon as it says, you cut it off. Don't talk that anymore. Why? Because it's going to stimulate something. It's going to stimulate something. Because we are human beings and we have emotions. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Just as somebody can say something to get you angry, somebody can say something to stimulate your sexual desires. And they know it. Those criminals that do it, they know it. You will never meet them again in your life. Am I preaching fine today? You don't like my message again? You don't have option. It's for your good. You are blessed in Jesus' name. Yes. So avoid pornographic materials. Be careful what you see. Sexual movies. They have sexual storylines. If they told you that the movie is dirty, avoid it. If they did not tell you and you just started seeing it, scroll through that side fast and see whatever you want to see and just leave that side because it's dangerous. The internet is a dangerous source. As much as it can be a blessing, it can also be a danger. So you must avoid. Then friends. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 33. It says, evil company corrupts good manner. Evil communication corrupts what? Good manners. Some of us would have been 10 times better. You know the problem? You are not leaving those friends. We grew up together. Look at you. You are not up together. Let me not deceive you. They are just that you are up. You are not up together. Go and check it. You see that somebody, one of you is taller than each other. If you grew up together, you should have been the same height. You are not growing up together. Somebody is growing. The other one is at a different pace. If we search your mind, both of you have different level of exposure. Everything different. So don't allow anybody tell you that my friends, they will think I hate them. They will think nobody's thinking that you hate anybody. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If they think that you hate them, it's better go and find your life. When you find your life in God, when they see you, they will ask you, brother, where have you been? So I've been to the feet of Jesus. Let's go. And their life will change. But where you are right now, you might not be able to help them because they still have strong influence on you. Say, what if they are the ones feeding me and helping me? Grow from that place. Come out of that laziness. Look for something to do so that you will not use laziness and poverty as a cloak of staying in your mess. Am I communicating sense? Yes. Number 4, learn to flee. Tell your neighbor, learn to flee. Say it again. Learn to flee. Yes, so many believers always put confidence in the flesh. They are smarter than God. So you see, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22, it says, flee all appearance of evil. But those ones, they'll say, ah, what am I fleeing? I can control it. Let me tell you something. You can't control it. You can't control it. Don't deceive yourself. One of the things that the Bible continues to emphasize that people should run away from is sexual desires. See, when it comes to other areas of sin, you can talk it. When somebody is trying to make you angry, you can stay there and they say, don't say, just keep quiet, keep quiet, keep quiet. You can do that for anger. When it is sexual sin, you keep quiet. If you keep quiet, the hand of the guy will move. Are you joking? Are you joking? Eh? Say, Pastor, why is it guys? Why is it guys? It's because are we here together, church? Yes, you know why, guys? Because most of the times, guys are the ones that stimulate things. And that's why if most of our guys and men are spirit controlled, it will help a whole lot of ladies. Many ladies came with their head on your shoulder because they trusted you. Don't be a viper. Don't kill them. Don't kill them. Yes, because while you were cheating, you were talking nice, so they liked it. You were telling them, asking them about their health, about their career, have you eaten? So they felt like, that's it, this is a nice person. All of a sudden, the person that is saying, how have you eaten, is beginning to eat you. Ah. First Corinthians chapter 6 verse 18. Are we here together, church? Focus, look up here. Leave those discussions now. Let's go. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 18. You're about to take the communion of the blood of Jesus and it will give you strength. 1 Corinthians chapter, it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 18, 6 verse 18, 6 verse 18, 6 verse 18. It says, flee sexual immorality. Flee. What does it say you should do? Flee. Somebody say flee. Paul said something that if I say I have confidence in the flesh, you guys should not copy me. Paul that did not marry. A man that can stay like that without marrying is the person you are copying. Paul said, don't copy me, oh, that there is a covenant I have entered. There's an agreement. I have settled some things. He said, don't say you have confidence in the flesh. We are the circumcision, those of us that have found Jesus Christ, and we put no confidence in the flesh. I know that I cannot trust this flesh. That's why when certain things are coming, I say, I'm not there. I refuse to be here. There are certain things I see as I'm scrolling through Facebook. I'm not going to watch this thing. No, I'm not trying to claim that because I'm a pastor, I'm a man of God, I'm very strong. Brothers and sisters, he said, take heed. He that thinks he stands, lest he does what? Fall. Many great men, they have found themselves as dead skeletons because they were putting confidence in the flesh. You don't know flesh. If you know flesh, you will hate the deeds and everything that has to do with flesh. You will crucify. Paul said that, you know what crucify is? To nail the flesh. May God give you strength to crucify the flesh. So one of the things you must learn to do is to flee. As somebody is talking dirty, you shut the person off. Why did you block me? I felt your mind was beginning to go wild. So I don't want you to lead me that way. Say, I can see it already. Say, because of those chats, you say, yes, say they are dirty and I don't talk dirty. The word of God says, be ye holy for I am holy. Say, you are the holier than I say, no problem. Insult me if you like. It doesn't change anything. Yes. Somebody sends a message to you as a guy and say, the way your chest was today or this Sunday, your chest was so... Tell the lady, stop looking at chest. Be looking at my face next time you are talking. May God help us in Jesus' name. Second to the last, are you ready? Learn to confront and attack your negative thoughts with words. Learn to confront and attack your negative thoughts with words. Allowing thoughts and ideas that are not pure to leave and take residence in your mind is even a sin. That's why Jesus said, whoever looks lustfully has already sinned. Then you did not look lustfully. You started talking lustfully. You started acting lustfully. No, you are not like that. Your new man is not like that. The Bible says the seed of God inside of us cannot sin. My spirit man cannot sin. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? So anytime the thought starts coming to your mind, don't accommodate it. Don't entertain it. Don't nurture it. See, when you start nurturing the thoughts, guess what happened? You are building a stronghold. You are building one-story building. It came as one flat bungalow. Then all of a sudden you are agreed. Then they put a story building. Then all of a sudden you are agreed. Then they put 2 stories, 3 stories. Then it becomes a stronghold. Guess what? By the time it becomes too tough, all your hormones are already excited.
before you know it, you would have said things that you never believed you would have said. Why? Because you allowed it. Tell your neighbor, don't allow it. So what does the Bible advise? Philippians 4 verse 8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are just, if there be any praise or any good report, he said you should do what? Think on those things. Meditate on this. What do I meditate on? I meditate on things that are noble, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are good report. If there is any virtue and praise, I meditate on it. If it is dirty, will I meditate on it? No. If it is impure, will I meditate on it? No. If it is hatred, will I meditate on it? No. If he has bad news, gossip, bitterness against somebody, lying against somebody that you cannot defend. Say, let's just say to, don't tell her, don't ever tell her that I said so. Say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to call her and tell her. And we must discuss it. Say, you are too mean. Now, so the Bible don't enter your head. Yes, I have to help your life. And guess what? If people always bring matters to you, gossip matters, it's because you are a gutter. Gutters carry gossip. As soon as you say no, nothing stays here. As soon as they are bringing and they know you will not accept it, they will say no, go that business. They will not answer you. Born again. And guess what? When you are too itching to hear new things, you will soon enter the devil's trap. They are bringing dirty talks to you, dirty news to you, bad things to you, and they say we cannot say it in the presence of the person. Tell the person I don't want to hear anything. You will not be able to say in their presence. I will not say. Don't tell me about it. Why? Because you are making me a dumping site, and I don't want to be a dumping site. Am I preaching fine to somebody today? Yes. So you must attack the thought. As soon as the thought is coming, Satan is saying, I'm going to see that girl. Tell the devil, shut up, get out. Get out now in the name of Jesus. I cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. I bring it to subjection. She's a daughter of Zion. I am a son of God. She's my sister. I love her genuinely. I have no dirty business with her in the name of Jesus. She's a married woman. I can't go near her. He's a married man. I have no business with him. I am pure in heart in the name of Jesus. Oh, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I see God. I see you. You need to rejoice in the word of God. We think we are weak whenever we are doing those kind of things. No, we are exercising ourselves. And a time will come, the flesh will just lose weight. Then your spirit man will stand. Sometimes you finish saying those things and you are blasting in tongues already. And the devil is saying, if the devil shuts your mouth in the day of adversity, he will kill you. But don't let him. As soon as the thoughts are coming, shut it down. As soon as it's coming, you have an iron dome. Let your mind be like an iron dome. Many of us know what the Iron Dome, the Israeli Iron Dome defense. As they are shooting the rocket as it's coming, you hold it and you say, get out there. Another one is coming, you hold it and say, get out there. That's what the Bible says, that casting down all imagination and every high thing. You are seeing yourself in fantasy with the guy you are supposed to marry and you are picturing nonsense and you are in genuine relationship. That moment, start saying, I cast this rubbish down. There is time for everything. In the name of Jesus, this is not the thought I want to have. We are planning about our children. We are planning about our glorious future. We are planning other things. Beautiful things must be what you will be seeing, not negative things. If you allow those negative things too long, you will manifest it. You are in the office as a married man, and every time your secretary is moving, Satan is saying, see. No, you say, no. I am Isaiah. I see the Lord seated upon the throne, and his train filled the temple. You must convert it, though. By all means, help yourself. Tell your neighbor, help yourself. Yes. Yes. And lastly, develop the fear of God. Help me play that video. Do you have the video? I sent the video to Joseph. I sent to Solomon. I sent to... Are they in church at all? I sent to Jonathan. I sent to all of you. Play that video. Is the audio available? Play it so that everybody can hear it. Somebody sent it to me. No, it's not loud. Go back. Stop it until you play it loud. Stop it until you play it loud. Go back. Raise the volume to where it should be. Everybody must hear every single word. Go back and replay it.
One of the most famous men on the planet, but he's famous for all the wrong reasons. Had the largest ministry in the world. He committed fraud, and in 1990 he was sentenced. I remember going up to the place, the federal penitentiary that he was serving time in. So I remember after about 20 minutes of him telling me his whole story, man, I had one big question. I said, listen, I watched you weep as you preached the gospel. I watched so many people get saved under your ministry. When did you fall out of love with Jesus? And he looked at me and he said, John, I didn't. And he sees confusion on my face. And he looks at me and he goes, I didn't fear God. I loved Jesus, but I had no fear of God.
I have no fear of God.
He said, and there's millions of Americans just like me. They love Jesus, but they have no fear of God.
That's the problem. That's where it comes. The last one is the strongest, the fear of God. If you do not have the fear of God, you fall into all funny, satanic, fleshy things. The fear of God. How do you see God? Do you reverence God in your heart? Would you carry the fear of God in your heart and still be able to live in bitterness for that long? Would you carry the genuine fear of God in your heart and you are thinking of how to kill a brother or a sister? There are people who murder. There are people for church political positions. They kill. Yes. The fear of God. They still love the church. And the church they love is not the real body of Christ. It's the church where they have political power. They love the physical church where they have political power. They have lost touch with God. The fear of God. Child of God, listen to me. One of the strongest things that can help anybody. Joseph said, how will I do this great thing and sin against God? He didn't say against Potiphar. He didn't say, oh, somebody else. No, how will I do this evil and sin against God? Every time you remember God, every time you remember the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross of Calvary for you, every time you remember the pain that Jesus went through, every time you remember the sacrifice that he made, the fear of God needs to well up in your heart. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? The fear of God, the reverential awe of God, the respect and the honor that you have for God. The Bible says in different parts of scriptures, time will not permit me to read them. It talks about the fear of God is to depart from evil. The fear of God is to depart from evil. In the book of Proverbs chapter 1 verse 25 to 30, you will see it. Signs that you fear God. Number one, you obey him even if it hurts you. You obey him even if he hurts you. You obey him. Number two, obey even if you don't understand. God says do this, you do. I don't understand why, but I do it. Why? God says to do it. The Bible says marriage is honorable with the bed undefiled. I don't understand. Somebody said, so person, did they do it? Did he kill them? I'm not that person. I am a child of God. Anything my father says to do, that is what I do. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? The fear of God. Can't carry the fear of God in your heart and be that wicked. Can't carry the fear of God in your heart and execute wickedness against your brother. You can't carry the fear of God in your heart and carry somebody's daughter and sleep with her anyhow. And follow confidently to sleep with somebody's husband or somebody's wife. You can't carry the fear of God in your heart and jealousy and envy is boiling inside of you like passion. You cannot have the fear of Jesus and live like that. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You can't carry the fear of God and dress in a seductive way when you have intention that if I do like this, if he looks at me three times, he will fall. And they say, dress to kill. I don't dress to kill. I dress to save. You must learn it, that the fear of God was born in your heart. When the fear of God begins to well up in your heart, it's not my wife. My wife can't stop me. She doesn't see me. She doesn't know what I can do or what I cannot do. It is the fear of God that is in my heart. As a matter of fact, there are many things we can do. The life we can live, terrible and dangerous, wicked life. I can steal anything. I can steal. People have carried this church money and brought it into my hand personally. Finance is not there. Nobody is there. And they will say, man of God, take. And as they give me the money, I will still have to ask, is this church money or you want to give me a gift? And they say, it's church money. I will call finance and say, this money belongs to church. It's not mine. Some people will send to my account and I will ask them, this particular money, is it for me or it belongs to this church? Because I don't know if you are blessing me or and I will send it. It takes the fear of God that even in secret, people can do those things and you bring it. Many people have eaten their cursed things. That's why they have come upon themselves all manner of evil. I pray for somebody under the sound of my voice that you will not find yourself taking what belongs to God. You will not find yourself struggling with what belongs to God. The glory that belongs to God, you will not find yourself meddling with it. In the name of Jesus, rise up on your feet and let us pray. The fear of God. For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. Say, for the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. You can't be bitter against that sister. You can't be bitter against that brother. Go and settle. These are the works of the flesh. You can't be living in drunkenness and they keep preaching in bitterness, in malice, in anger, all manner. They are all the works of the flesh. Rise and come out of the dust. Rise and come out. Break out of that masturbation and pornography. Jesus loves you more and you know it. Rise. It might be painful. You might lose the pleasure. You might lose the gain. For Paul said, I count it all but dung for the excellency of Christ, the God whom I have found. Eliako
2 minutes, I want you to pray and say, God, everything that remains of the flesh in me, kill it. Everything that remains of the flesh in me, kill it. Whatever magnifies flesh, I set my affection on the things of God. I'm a free man from today. Many of you will see the glorious life you start living. If you follow this teaching, you play it again, you listen to it again, you listen to it again, you listen to it again, and remember the fear of God. Many people have done terrible things because they left touch with the fear of God. If they remember the fear of God, they will not find themselves there. Lord, I fear you and I honor you. I reverence you. And part of the sign that I reverence you is that I honor your word. Whatever you said is what I will do. It might not be convenient. It might not be easy. But God, help me that I will not lose touch. I will not lose contact. I will not be carried away. I fear the Lord in my heart. Lord, help me to fear you more. Let me honor you more. That I will reverence you more. More than ever before. This is the season of the manifestation of God's children. God is purging his church. God is purging his church. God is purging his church. PTCC, God is purging. God is purging. God is purging. Allow God purge the church. As you're about to take the blood of Jesus, the blood of his communion, the blood of the new covenant, you need to pray and say, Father, as I take this blood, as I eat this flesh, I identify myself again and again and again. I remember what you have done for me. I bring back to focus, and your fear is implanted in my heart, in the name of Jesus, that I honor you more than ever before. I am not of them that draw back. I am not those who are careless. I am not of them that say it doesn't matter. No, I honor God. I reverence God. I fear God. There is nothing that will take the place of God in my life. Help me, Jesus, to be better. Help me, Jesus, to be stronger. See what your life will become. You'll become a better person. You'll start smiling in the things of God. You'll be able to cast down those imaginations. You have heard the word of God. You are becoming stronger. The same things that caused you to fall before, it will not stop you anymore. Arise from the dust. Wherever you find yourself, arise from the dust and let Christ give you light. Arise from the dust and let Christ strengthen you. Get out of bitterness. Get out of unforgiveness. Get out of witchcraft. Get out of malice. Get out of drunkenness. Get out of all the works of the flesh. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Child of God, you need to always remember the blood of Jesus. Always remember the sacrifice of Jesus. Always remember the price he paid for you. Many homes are being destroyed today because Satan is on rampage. Rampage, anger, bitterness. The husband trying to assert some kind of devilish, it's no longer the real, you know, leadership, but satanically inspired way to humiliate and subdue that woman. And that is part of the works of the flesh, your own opinion alone. And the wife struggling by all means to counter the husband and fight back. No, that's no longer the way of God. That's not how to submit. Many families are going through all manner of crisis because Satan has stepped in. Many young people are struggling with all manner of things because their affections are set on the flesh. You have to set your affection. You have to honor God and fear him. And he says, if you love me, keep my commandment. If I have told you something, do it.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.